Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time that we have together. Thank you that once again we can meet, we can worship your name, and we can enjoy one another and express love to one another. I just ask that you let your message come through today and trust you with that. Open our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You ever wanted to be famous?
Sure.
I would be surprised if anyone hasn't at some point in their life kind of wondered what that would be like. Have everybody know who you are. Everybody know your name. For a good reason, we hope. Do you get special treatment everywhere you go? People want to just fall all over themselves to be good to you. And I think more, though, also to be just recognized for something that you do well. Who wouldn't like that?
Right.
I used to imagine as a kid, or I guess every young boy wants to be a hero of some sort. I didn't necessarily have a particular one in mind, but I used to fantasize about all the things I could do. I would rescue my friends in my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't, didn't last very long, but I wanted to be a rock star for a while. Or to be known for some cool invention that I came up with. And even now, I imagine, maybe just a little bit, I might be an author. Somebody might actually read a book that I would write.
Cool.
But, or maybe being famous doesn't matter too much. Maybe being rich would be nice, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because we imagine how we'd make things right. We'd get this for so-and-so, and get that for so-and-so, and make everybody happy, and fix everybody up. And we'd have all the stuff that we want. And we imagine what we could do. After all, we're good people, right? Can you imagine all the good stuff we'd do if we had all that money?
Right.
Not that we wouldn't, but these things are all temporary. None of it can be enjoyed past the end of life. Jesus makes that clear. At least the end of life on this earth. And they come with their own set of problems. People who want to destroy you just because you have it and they don't. People who want what you have and will do anything to get it. You just trade one set of problems for another. And you can lose it all in an instant. We see the evidence all around us. Economic conditions change. Something in your past comes back to haunt you. None of us has any of that, right? You make a mistake. Just plain old mess up and everything's gone. Or, if you achieve some of that fame, people just move on. You're not the latest thing anymore. Somebody is. Oh, but that's all worldly stuff. We would never do that in the church, right? But we want to be known. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I want us to be known. I want us to be known for the right things. That'd be good. But most of what draws attention is of a temporal nature. It goes away.
Yes, true.
Linda and I met at a mega church that doesn't exist anymore. Gone. Somebody else is using their big, even bigger mega church is using their building now. And they appear to have a little bit more staying power, but nothing lasts forever except Jesus.
Amen.
And well, actually, I take that back. We're going to last forever if we know Him.
Right.
Get to live with Him forever. Amen. So yeah, some things last forever, but nothing here. We want to be big. We want our attendance a lot of times becomes a sign of prestige. The more people you got, the you must be doing something right. And more people needs more money. Imagine what we could do for the kingdom of God if we had more money. And God does use good churches, big churches, and famous people. Of course He does. He'd use anybody that'll let Him. And we can all point to successful ministries that do very much good in the world. I'm not picking on anybody. But one thing is not necessarily better than the other. And God, if you talk to those guys, they probably all have one thing in common. Well, I know they all have one thing in common. None of them can tell you that they started off big. Mm-hmm. They started off small. God usually starts with little things. Kingdom thinking doesn't start at the wrong end. We begin with the little we have and the little we are. And God uses it to make something big and something world-changing. We're going to continue today with kingdom illustrations that Jesus uses. Matthew put a bunch of them together in chapter 13 to try to give us a picture. Jesus uses these parables, these illustrations, to describe His kingdom, which doesn't operate like kingdoms that we're used to here on earth. Matthew puts them all together to show us the bigger picture. And in these next two examples, He is building on the foundation that we laid with the parable of the sower and the seed. And He describes the kingdom as starting small, growing, transforming its environment. So we'll be in chapter 13, starting verse 31. And He uses two examples. He uses a mustard seed and yeast. What in the world do those two things have in common? Let's start with the mustard seed. I'm going to go ahead and read in chapter 13. And I'm just going to read verses 31 and 32. We'll read 33 when we get there. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of this air come and nest in its branches." Now, all of us who have been in church for a while, we've probably seen a mustard seed. Somebody probably brought one and showed it around at some point. But if you didn't, it's a little tiny thing. Been described as being about the size of the ball in your ballpoint pen. Little tiny seed. It's the smallest seed. It's obviously not the smallest seed that exists, but that's not what Jesus was saying. It would be the smallest seed that anyone in that region would plant in a garden. And yet it would grow up and be the largest of the plants. There are some other well-known passages. We hear about the mustard seed. We automatically think of what? Faith. Because in several places, Jesus said, if you've got faith that's even as big as a mustard seed, you can make mountains move. You can tell this tree to get up and go be planted somewhere else. And then Jesus says these things in a couple of places. One of them is when he come down from the mountain and the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of the boy. And they said, why couldn't we get rid of it? He said, because of the littleness of your faith. You just had a mustard seed. And then you could do these mighty things. And I love this next one. The next time he says that is over in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. And he has just told them that if your brother sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to repent, you're supposed to forgive it. Now, that always makes me chuckle a little bit, and then check my heart. But the next thing they say is, Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
But the connection is that little things can have big results.
Amen.
So what about this tree? It says it grows into this tree that the birds come and nest in its branches. Now, I meant to have some pictures collected, but I forgot to tell Linda what I wanted. But a typical mustard plant is more like a bush, more like a shrub. But if they're left untended, they can grow into a small tree, about 8-foot tall tree, that birds could come and make a nest in. Now, some say that this was the normal thing in that day, that they always grew that big. And others say that it's the aberration that's the point. I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute, not much. I was saying to Frank flat out, there may be some things about this story that I don't know. But the Lord will teach us all the time. But there is a reference over in Ezekiel chapter 17 that uses similar language as a metaphor for the return of Israel, which would be right in line with what Jesus is teaching here, although it uses a cedar tree in that analogy. Trees are also compared to kings and kingdoms in other contexts. The judgment on Assyria in Ezekiel 31, the prophecy against King Nebuchadnezzar coming out of his dream in Daniel chapter 4. I don't think that those are particularly relevant to this, other than the fact that they deal with kings and kingdoms. But what about the birds? Do they mean anything? Well, some say that they are a metaphor for the Gentiles coming into the kingdom. Some link the birds in this parable, because it's the same word, to the birds in the parable of the sower, which were a metaphor for Satan coming and stealing the words. To me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think maybe the birds just help strengthen the illustration. It would make too much out of it. But the point, and I'm doing a little bit of speculation here, but the point is to illustrate his kingdom. That's obvious. But some of the things that we can draw from this are to think about Jesus. Jesus himself coming into the world from humble beginnings, and yet he is the reigning king. And I am drawing from material things that other people have said here, but it is rather amazing. And we have a man here who presumably had no formal education beyond what all Jewish boys got, and yet he's constantly confounding the religious leaders of the day. He never wrote a book, and yet he changed the course of history. He never married and had no heirs, and yet He has the biggest family ever, and he keeps growing. He died like a common criminal and arose, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
This story is mirrored even in the story of Israel, in its redemption, which is not complete yet, but it will be. And it's mirrored in our own stories. But the Jews weren't looking for this. The Jews were looking for a conquering hero. Not a carpenter born in a stable. But little things have big results in his kingdom.
Amen.
So what about the yeast? He then, immediately behind that, verse 33, he gives another parable. Reading verse 33, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. What is the nature of yeast? The nature of yeast, first of all, is to multiply. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to multiply. And what happens when it multiplies? It will permeate the dough, and it will change the nature of the dough and cause it to rise. And you only need a little bit to do it. I'm not a cook. I see a stove turn around the other way. But we understand how that works. There are parallel accounts of this. We find the same mustard seed parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. We find both the seed and the yeast together again in Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. But there's no significant difference. This is why I didn't cite them earlier. There's no really significant difference in these accounts, other than the fact that they're taken and repeated by all three of the synoptic gospels. So because they're all included, that repetition thing. If something's repeated, it's important. They all thought it was important enough to put it in there.
Amen.
In all of their accounts. These parables communicate the nature of God's kingdom. It takes the small and it makes it great.
Amen.
It grows. It permeates its environment and it changes its environment. The tree grows up, provides shade, shelter, and even sustenance. The birds feed the seeds of the wheat. And the yeast changes the nature of bread, makes it something completely different than it is without it. So how do we apply this to our own lives? First of all, don't be ashamed of little things. Just a little faith moves mountains. I think about that song whenever I see that now, we sing, I know you're able, I know you can. You may not do it the way I want it done, but I know you can. But just a little seed grows into this big tree. We all start small, but He makes us great.
Amen.
From one man, Abraham, came the nation of Israel. From 12 disciples plus the others that were there, wasn't just the 12, but basically from these 12 comes a movement that changes the face of the planet. From a prison cell came most of the New Testament written by Paul. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God chooses the weak and the foolish things. I was the week before we didn't meet. The meeting that I was at was something they're calling co-ed. It's a thing where pastors get together and they're breaking them up. The DBA now is breaking them up into regions. And so I went to the one that was for the part of town that our church is in. And you've got all these people, we're meeting in a big church, you've got all these pastors of these big, well-established churches in there. And all the people that I was speaking to were from these big churches. And then somebody asked the inevitable question that you're going to have in a group of pastors like that. Well, how many people are in your church? Mm-hmm. So I sheepishly had to say, well, we had 9 in our last attendance. But God knew that I would be studying this that very day. And He used that experience to remind me. I don't look at things. I don't have the same accounting system. We are exactly the little thing that God can use to do great things.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of little things. Start with what you got. And humility is actually a prerequisite. So maybe I need to be humble a little bit. But God's kingdom is superior.
Amen.
It will overshadow all others. It will bring protection, and it will bring sustenance. And God loves the birds too. So however you want to look at that, know that God's desire is that everyone be included. Unfortunately, some will choose not to be. But His desire, His design was for all of us. If we would only accept. God's kingdom is transformative. And so our call today is to be like that yeast. We change the nature of the environment. We change the nature of the places we go. We should cause it to rise. We should cause the caliber and the attitude, feeling to be elevated, because we're speaking life into the situation. Mm-hmm. We should evaluate our own words and our own actions with that in mind. Are we building up or are we tearing down? Are we more like yeast or are we more like gold? Yeah. Finally, take courage. Nothing is too small for God to use.
Amen.
Nothing is too little. He can take what you have, whatever that is, and do big things with it.
Amen.
He's proven that over and over again throughout the Scripture. Take heart in it. It always involves expansion, not for expansion's own sake, but expansion for the benefit of others. As a child of His kingdom, be an agent of that change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that You made a way, that because of Your sacrifice, we are adopted as Your children, that we get to be heirs in Your kingdom, not because of what we did, but because of what You did. I say not because of who we are, and it's not because of who we are on our own merit, but it's because of who You made us to be.
That's right.
You changed who we are.
Amen.
So thank You, Lord. Help us today and throughout our time on this earth as we go forward. Let us expand Your kingdom.
Yes.
Bring those that You have marked out to join us in Your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.